Good morning. It is 6:18 a.m. on May 22nd, 2012, Tuesday, 2 days before Balticon, 2 days before I fly to Balticon, let's put it that way. Yesterday was one of those days. I didn't go out early like I am this morning, and as a result, what happened was it got to be 85 degrees by 11 o'clock. I had a completely messed up and fragmented morning throughout the whole entire day. And by the time it got to be middle of the afternoon, it's like, this ain't happening. Because I just was not going to go out in the heat of the day and try to walk on hot concrete in almost 90 degree weather. And I knew better than to think I was going to do it in the evening. And I was right. So I made it a point this morning to get my little butt up out of the chair at 6 o'clock to wake up the kids and then go for the walk. So here I am. I got some other issues this morning, not the least of which is that I forgot to take my medication last night. So I didn't get much sleep. I woke up around 3:15, 3:30, somewhere in there. I think it was around 3:30. And wife was snoring. The cat was outside the bedroom door trying to tell me that he really needed to come in and curl up on the bed when he actually wanted me to go feed him. And with a splitting headache and a fever. Now, for most people, a splitting headache and a fever is a symptom of one particular kind of illness. For me, it's arthritis. Almost always arthritis. One of the symptoms, one of the things that I have to deal with ankylosing spondylitis is the periodic spiking of a fever for no apparent reason. I don't seem to have an infection. I don't have any kind of other malady, any kind of other underlying cause. But my temperature will go up by about 2 degrees, warm enough that it my skin feels hot to the touch, and that my head really feels like it's pounding right off the top of my neck. I've learned to recognize this particular flavor of headache. And sure enough, I got up and went and checked my pill minder. And the pills that I should have taken last night were still in the little cubby. What I did was took them around 3. They're beginning to help a little bit. It's a nice thing about this set of medications that I can really take it when I need them. Supposed to take them at night because they make me groggy. So today, when I really can't afford to be groggy, where I really need to be aware and moving, I need to get a haircut, I need to get some clothes, I need to do some laundry. I got all these things that I need to do. And I've already had one nap this morning. It's only 6 o'clock. I suspect I'm going to have at least one more nap today. I still have all the normal stuff that I need to do in terms of carting kids around and cooking and taking care of the family. So, yeah, that's going to be one of those tedious days, I'm afraid. Anyway, it is what it is. We've got to do what we got to do, so I'm not too overly concerned about it. Let's see, I did gain 2.5 hours. I was supposed to have a dental appointment today from like 11 to 1. And I called the dentist's office last night, yesterday afternoon, because I didn't get the normal, you know, usually they confirm the appointment a day or so in advance. Well, I didn't get a confirmation call. So I called the dentist's office and said, You know, I didn't get a confirmation call yesterday, and my calendar says I've got an appointment, and is there something I don't know? And they said, who the hell are you? And apparently the receptionist remembered my name, but what happened was something came up, and that this period got double booked, and the other person's name was on the slot. They got the confirmation call, not me. So the dental appointment's been postponed till after Balticon. They wanted me to come in on Thursday. It's like, oh, no, I'm flying on Thursday. And of course, then they said, how about the following Tuesday? It's like, no, I don't think I'm going to be back in time. I don't want to get off the plane, drive to Greeley, and get in a dentist chair. I'm going to come home and probably collapse. So that's going to wait. So that time, which is rather an extensive time block, has been postponed until after Balticon. I hope that what will happen is that by the time I get back and I have to sit in a chair, I'll have so much to think about that I won't be thinking about, oh my God, I'm sitting in a dentist chair. And the last thing that's happened so far this morning is that this stupid phone. No, I love this BlackBerry, but there's a serious design flaw with this little freaking trackball. Any kind of oil or water or condensation that gets on the trackball means that it won't move in one direction or another, or many. It doesn't register at all. So you wind up trying to roll up or down or left or right, and it doesn't go. And you give it, oh, I don't know, 10 minutes, half an hour, sometimes an hour. And whatever was in there dries up, gets absorbed, falls away, whatever. And it works again. I said this, I don't know, gosh, half a dozen times. I probably need to replace this phone. It's really quite old at this point. It's BlackBerry 9000, and it's not even a supported model anymore. It has some problems with the operating system in that it won't actually download the current version of BlackBerry. But I'm loath to switch to an iPhone because I use a little keyboard on it so much to handle email, etc. And the iPhone apparently doesn't have the same kind of voice note capability that the BlackBerry does, which I find very curious. I was looking around at this should be stupidly simple, why isn't it actually? And apparently it's like you have to buy an app that will handle recording. Like, I don't want to buy an app, for Christ's sake. I just want to take a voice note. I want it to connect to my earbuds so that I can record while I walk. And apparently, something that's trivial for BlackBerry is not so trivial on iPhone, which I find quite curious, quite ridiculous, frankly. So, I don't know. So probably should go over to the BlackBerry store today, over to the AT&T store, and replace this thing before I go to Balticon. If I do it today, that'll give me a couple of days to get used to it before I try to go on a plane with it. I don't know. Let's see how the day shakes out. For one thing, I have to be very careful, particularly over the next 5 or 6 hours, that I don't do anything too, what's the word, mentally taxing, because I'm not really tracking very well. It would not be a good time for me to be making serious, considered opinions, decisions about things. It would be a really good time for me to take a nap. And I might have to do that, because I got very little sleep last night. Maybe when I get kids and wife and people out of the house, assuming that I can and do, perhaps then I'll be able to go back to bed for a couple hours. I don't know. Well, one thing will be sure. I'll have my walk out of the way. I'll have my talk out of the way. I will have completed yet another round of the neighborhood. I can't believe it's like over 700 miles that I've walked. Somebody in one of the comments said I almost made it to University of Iowa or something. Then at the final end of the route at the moment is the University of Chicago. So, yeah. Oh, God. So, pain. Pain is my friend today. It's going to probably be one of those pain-filled days. I'm going to try not to grumble about it. I don't have too much farther to walk without grumbling. I think I can make it without moaning and pissing quite too much for the rest of the way. So what else am I thinking about? Mostly I'm thinking about Balticon. I am so excited. It's ridiculous. I'm also thinking about things like, website updates. And somebody complained that one of the dates in a blog post from 2007 that predicted that I'd have Cape Grace done by the end of 2010 was out of date and needed an update. And it's one of those things that made me go, huh? It's right up there with the guy who wanted to know when DoubleShare was going to be available, left a comment on the blog post that announced that DoubleShare was available. Or I guess it was on a production date or something. I guess it was either. I wanted to get the books, but it was the production schedule page. I'm terrible at maintaining this stuff. I really probably should find some volunteer who wants to do the maintenance and keep this thing up to date. Somebody who has the time and the inclination to go through and find all of the pieces that are broken and need attention. I mean, one of the things, I think it was it Anita? Was it you, Anita, who pointed out that the Get the Books page was still saying would be soon available? I put a link into Amazon and a disclaimer that it'll be a while before it promulgates through the various places. That's one of the problems with this process, is that, I announced that it's available on Amazon, and yet, it'll take 6 weeks, 2 months, to promulgate through Smashwords, to get to Kobo, to get to Sony. Why it takes so long, I have no idea. But the reality is, it takes that long. Now, sometimes it'll go through in a week. Sometimes it won't go through in 2 months. And I have no control over it and no way to predict it. So if I announce that it's available and it's not available on somebody in particular's bookstore, then I get nasty emails about it. I don't know. also been having a conversation on Google Plus about hyphenation, which is not really about hyphenation. It's about how to spell certain compound nouns and whether or not they use hyphens, whether they are one word, or whether they don't require a hyphen because it's really an adjective noun combination. And I don't do hyphenation because hyphenation is breaking up a word at the end of the line in order to make lines of uniform length to fall on printed page. I don't use hyphenation because most of my, in fact, virtually all of my writing is intended first for flowing onto electronic media. So that hyphenation I don't do. The compound noun spelling thing is quite problematic for me, and I have absolutely no desire to look up every fucking combination and possible permutation of words that I really don't care about in the OED in order to find out what the approved spelling might be. If that's the kind of thing that is prone to kick you out of a story, don't read my books. I hate to put it in quite such blunt words, but the reality is I don't give a damn. It's like, all right. Now, the reality is, as someone, my God, I think it was Anita, pointed out to me, all right, one word, A-L-R-I-G-H-T, while in common usage is not actually a word. Now, I know the difference between a lot, A-L-O-T, and a lot, a space, L-O-T, and all right, A-L-R-I-G-H-T, which is not a word, and all, A-L-L, right, R-I-G-H-T, which is two words, is actually how that's supposed to be spelled. All through Ravenwood, I consistently used the wrong word. And a lot of people say, oh, well, that's a function of being, you know, self-published. That's a function of being whatever. And yet, the 8 or 12 people who proofread Ravenwood, nobody picked it up. Nobody said anything about it. Nobody pointed that out. And likewise, the lack of hyphenation in some of the words that I use never got picked up. Nobody reported it. So, I don't know. Was it Tom McMillan Reeves, whatever his name is? This is one of those things, it's like, you know, it's like the commas with two. I think I mentioned this before. Ryden's policy, Ryden's interpretation of Chicago Manual is that there should not be a comma before the use of the word T-O-O. It's like, I'd like to go to. Even though common English parlance, you know, most people believe, like I do, that there should be a comma there. Apparently the new Chicago Manual calls for that comma to be gone, just like they call for single space after period, instead of a double space. So, the problem is that readers who expect to see the comma too, and don't see the comma too, see that as invalid editing, just like they see the lack of hyphen as misspelling, it's a terrible travesty against the English language, and a violation of trust between writer and reader. Can't help you. And I'd really like to do the research. I'd really like to take a book and put a cover on it that says, like, it's from Macmillan, and charge $12.99 for it, and take the same cover and have it be from my own little press in the basement, and then have people evaluate the book, have people write reviews of the book, and see if the name of the big publisher changes how they evaluate editing. See how if it changes how they respond to what the content is. Because my sense is that, you know, I don't think people really bitch about, you know, the the spelling and word choice errors in, for example, a Jim Butcher book. I literally was reading one of his books, and I found like a typo or a there or a 2-2 or what's a 4-4 error in the text, and whatever, Simon & Schuster, Random House, I forget who publishes him now, I guess Macmillan. But nobody ever comments on how Jim Butcher's books are filled with typos. Those same kinds of things crop up. Small press, indie, it doesn't really know what they're doing. It's very curious. I don't know. No answers, lots of questions, and very spacey this morning, so pardon my space off and rant. The reality is I'm at the back gate, and in theory, I'll talk to you tomorrow.